If you come to Lander, Wyoming, well, perhaps this June for the Wyoming School of Catholic Thought, it's hard not to notice the landscape. Cliffs, rises, canyons, draws, and the high peaks of the Wind River mountain range. This is Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast, The After Dinner Scholar, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. As I've said before on these podcasts, college for our freshmen begins by studying God's first book, creation. During their three-week freshman expedition, they drink in the beauty, majesty, power, and peril of the world without houses, plumbing, electricity, and other conveniences of modern life that shield us from, and thus allow us to ignore, creation. When they return from their expedition, in theology they study God's second book, the Holy Scriptures, but in field science, it's back to the first book as they carefully examine the flora and fauna of our region, along with the rocks. Professor Lauren Hirschamp has worked for the Colorado Geological Survey, has taught geology in Zermatt, Switzerland, and Durango, Colorado. She's an avid rock climber and spent her maternity leave from academia as the executive director of WIO Climbers and the festival director for the International Climbers Festival held annually here in Lander. I began our conversation about geology by asking about an adjunct to our geology, dinosaurs. We see pictures of dinosaurs in warm jungles and swamps, and Wyoming these days has neither warm jungles nor swamps for the most part, but it's a great place to dig for dinosaur bones. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's actually a fascinating place to study dinosaurs, and Wyoming's been an important part of the discovery of a lot of different species in the western U.S. And was one of the hot spots for paleontology in the late 1800s during the Great Cope and Marsh Fossil Wars. But really, it's a wonderful statement of how many different environments and worlds, if you will, have existed in Wyoming in the past. And during the Mesozoic, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, North America was connected to larger supercontinent of Pangaea. And then began to break apart in the Jurassic. We had very different contexts in terms of our latitude and our elevation. So it was a very different climate and a very different landmass entirely. And so that sets the stage for where we find dinosaur fossils in Wyoming is mostly in a rock unit called the Morrison Formation, which is a beautiful, colorful, usually it forms slopes of these Easter egg pinks and greens and maroons and cream colors. And it's basically a remnant of ancient floodplains where dinosaurs were roaming these broad floodplains in the huge breaking up supercontinent of Pangaea. And it just formed a good place for the potential for bones and fossilized material to be preserved really well in those rivers and floodplains.
Now, were rivers and floodplains the beginning of our story of geology in Wyoming, or just how did it all begin?
Oh gosh, definitely not. That's, you know, the age of dinosaurs is really only a tiny snippet in the bigger geologic history of Wyoming and the world. Wyoming's geologic history goes back much further. We actually have very ancient rocks that are part of what's called the Archean time period. And that's, we have rocks that are as old as 2.6 billion years old, as opposed to, you know, the Mesozoic, the dinosaur age, went from around 250 to around 65 million years ago. So going all the way back to the Archean, it's actually really rare to have rocks preserved from that time period. Wyoming is part of a very ancient chunk of crust called the Craton. And so Wyoming's been around a long time, and we're fortunate to have a great exposure of a lot of those old rocks here in the Wind River Mountains next to Lander.
Well, regarding the Wind Rivers, bring us a bit forward in time. Explain why it is that we in Lander have 13,000 plus foot mountains in our backyard.
Yeah, it's a good question, actually.
It's very cool to have them.
Right, it is, and it's a wonderful backdrop, obviously, and it exposes, the fact that we have mountains, that's an area of higher rock and higher elevation, which exposes cool geology. It's an interesting story, though, and kind of, I won't say a mystery, but kind of the reason why the Rocky Mountains as a broader mountain range even exist has been somewhat puzzling for geologists, because if we understand mountain building as mainly happening, according to plate tectonic theory, where plate edges are, or close to those plate edges, the Rocky Mountains don't fit that. They formed between about 70 and 40 million years ago, when this region was not near a plate boundary. And so the Wind River Mountains are part of that mountain building event, which now has a model that works pretty well, where, our west coast was a subduction zone, and that created enough pressure to create mountains here. And it's just interesting that the mountains that I think a lot of US geologists live in and near and study are some of the most puzzling of all. I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, speaking of mountains, there's actually been mountain ranges here in Wyoming and near Lander. This is at least the fourth, if not fifth, mountain range that's been here.
Wow.
This area has been through many cycles of mountain building and erosion, and being under shallow seas, and being above, floodplains near large bodies of water. And so we've been through many, many cycles of a lot of different events and environments.
Well, I know it's not just my imagination, but it seems like everything around here is tilted in such a way that things to the south are higher than the same thing in the north. All the strata are tipped. Is that correct? Is that correct? How did that happen?
Yeah, and that's a great observation. It's the Wind River Mountains are mainly oriented northwest to southeast, and part of that mountain building event was this, the block of crust that is exposed in the Wind River Mountains was pushed to the southwest, kind of towards Pinedale, if you will, on the other side of the mountains. And so on the Pinedale side of the Wind River Mountains, you don't have a gentle draping of sedimentary rock. You have a pretty dramatic mountain front. But on the Lander side of the Wind River Mountains, you have a more gentle tilting, because we're the side that doesn't have the big fault. We're the side that just was gently dipping, as geologists use the term, towards the northeast. And so you're right, you can follow layers up into the mountains, and then they dive down under the surface underneath Lander. And then sometimes, interestingly, they reemerge in the cool structures, like Johnny Behind the Rocks, where I took the students on their final geology field trip. So yeah, that's a good observation, and it's really interesting and fortunate that that tilt is what allows us to see all of these layers. If they were all horizontal, we would have much more boring geology than we do.
Yeah, that would be hidden.
Right.
I mean, to me, it is amazing the amount of force that must have been required to create that uplift. And
Yeah.
if that came from the plates colliding out in California, that's even more amazing.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And it's something that continues to be modeled to see if it's actually really possible. South America, the Andes, and the subduction zone along the west coast of South America is a really cool analog for that, a modern analog. We can look at what's happening now in South America and test models about, whether that would be possible here in North America 70 million years ago. And that's what's neat about geology. You can't always, with science in general, you can't go back in time. You can't repeat this mountain building in a laboratory. You have to be creative with the tools you use, and the way you think about and put together these models.
Well, to complicate it all, there is also enormous glaciation here. Is that correct? That changed the scene a great deal.
Yeah, for sure. The mountains really didn't look like mountains as we know them until glaciation carved them into the shapes we see. After the actual mountain building event itself, the Wind Rivers were really just a high plateau. And sometimes you can see that in places where you have very flat-topped mountains, those kind of preserved high elevation plateaus. But anyway, yeah, around, well, really, it's actually a long history of glaciation. Around 800,000 years ago, activity really started to build ice in the region. And both an ice cap and valley glaciers started to just pulse back and forth with different climate cycles. And that presence of ice, glaciers are always in motion at their base. And so these moving rivers of ice, kind of these conveyor belts of ice, are really powerful at carving rock and shaping valleys and steepening valley sides and mountains into these beautiful shapes that we have. Sinks Canyon itself, right here outside of Lander, where we spent a lot of time for field science class, is actually one of the best. It preserves the best record of glaciations in Wyoming. It really has, I think, at least six different glacial events or advances and retreats are recorded in Sinks Canyon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, of course, then we've got the Cirques, the Cirque of the Towers, the Leg Lake Cirque,
Yeah.
up by Thumb Lake.
Right.
Yeah.
Just dramatic, oversteepened. When you get up into the cirques, up in the tops of those valleys, you have just these dramatic, beautiful, steep, very high quality granite. It's a very, very unique geologic place.
Now, what impresses the students most about the geology?
I think for some students, it's all just so different from their backgrounds, depending on where they've come from, that sometimes it's just seeing scenery through a different lens, just a slightly more informed or slightly more scientific lens, is what's really breathtaking for them. My goal with field science students is to help them connect rocks to the stories that they tell. I don't care if they come away having memorized all the names of the rock units or the time periods. We don't even focus on that much at all. It's what is hopefully the eye-opening understanding that each rock tells a story about where it came from and its history and what it's been through. And if you know just enough to sort of start to decipher or read those stories, or even just get curious enough to dig deeper and try to understand and look up what is known about a rock. It's that bigger picture. That story that rocks, or the whole rock record, can tell us, that I hope students get out of it.
Now, I noticed in your bio that your undergraduate degree is a double major in geology and theology. How do you connect those two?
Yes. A lot of people used to joke that I should study the rocks that Moses's tablets were written on. But I went to Wheaton College as an undergraduate, and at Wheaton, the theology requirements were an integral part of the liberal arts curriculum, and it was a really, I don't want to say easy, because that might make me sound lazy, but it was a logical connection for me to just take more theology classes to really kind of fill that out, in terms of just wanting to take advantage of a wonderful theology department and opportunity, but then also just follow my interests in geology. And it was a really fun combination to study as an undergrad. Both disciplines, both geology and theology, are really humbling in terms of sort of putting us in our places, but also I think just very different ways of knowing, different ways of understanding or seeking truth. And that's what I also enjoy, just the really varied ways of thinking about our world and our creator. And I didn't find the two controversial let's say after my first semester. I found that the two started to really marry in my head really well, and I enjoyed talking with friends and professors about the two disciplines. I also did actually get to combine the two in a more concrete way. Right after I graduated, I got to take part in a geoarchaeology project in the Sinai Peninsula with a consortium of Egyptian and American researchers and archaeologists and geologists. And so that was a really fun sort of capstone experience to my undergrad before I went to grad school and dove into mountain building processes and all of that good stuff. So
the mountains show us the grandeur of God.
Most definitely.
My dear friend and former college roommate, Don Wasson, is a geologist. And while it's been some time since we traveled together, when we're driving, or better yet, when we're hiking together, I subject him to a barrage of questions about the local rocks. Somehow when I'm with him, I notice, and noticing, I wonder. While we'd love to have you visit Lander, you needn't come all the way to Wyoming to stand in awe of the world in which God has set us and to ask some questions about the place where you live. All that's required is to open our eyes to God's first book and wonder. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.